This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio, heard weekdays from noon to one. Now, Fight Back with Libby Znaimer on Zoomer Radio.
Good afternoon and happy Monday. It is time for our Zoomer squad. And the first question is, does an official lockdown, which started in Toronto and Peel, change things for Zoomers? It's already had some unintended consequences. I'm not sure the authorities predicted the kind of mob scenes we saw at some malls yesterday. And the rules are favoring big box stores, foreign-owned big box stores among them. And they can stay open and sell things that shuttered small businesses cannot. Is that fair? And we're going to get an update on CARB's long-term care campaign, which is centered around the demand to fire the Ontario long-term care minister, Marilee Fullerton, and it's gathering steam, and there are some new revelations. Let me give you the numbers if you have something you'd like to bring up with the squad or something to tell us about. 416-360-0740, toll free 1-866-740-4740. Now let's go to David Kravit, Vice President of Zoomer Media and Chief Marketing Officer at CARB, Bill Van Gorder, the Interim Chief Policy Officer at CARB, and Peter Mugridge, Senior Editor at Zoomer Magazine. And let's begin with that long-term care campaign. David, what's happening since we last talked?
Well, lots has been going on. We've got over 1,500 people have signed our petition. So the momentum is actually building. And we are now beginning to investigate the ministry itself. We've got a new series of commercials that will be airing starting later today where I'm participating. And we've done some research, and it's kind of scary what we're finding. We're looking at the salaries of some of these, the deputy minister, the assistant deputy minister, the number of people making over $100,000, the deputy himself at 270 with all compensation figured in. So we're just asking a simple question. What are we getting for the money? A lot of payroll going into this ministry for not much outcome. So you can't fire the whole team. It's like in sports, they can't fire all the players, so they fire the coach. And that's why we think that the minister's got to go.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think all deputy ministers make that kind of money.
Oh, yeah, we're not saying that. But I think eventually the public starts to look at this and say, no one's accusing somebody of doing anything nefarious or underhanded. But why aren't we entitled to some accountability and some performance in relation to the compensation? They have one topic to worry about, long-term care, and we see the results. And we don't think that's good enough.
Peter, do you think that there is any change for Zoomers under the lockdown here in Toronto and in Peel?
Well, the big change seems to be you can't go shop at a small business. You can go to Home Depot, you can go to Walmart, you can go to any of the big retailers and shop there, but you can't go to a small store. And this to me, it just seems if the small store puts in place proper health restrictions and guides and spacing measures and masks, I'm not sure why they can't open with a limited flow of people. And it just seems like they're using this blunt instrument to, cover everything. And there's going to be a lot of collateral damage with small businesses.
Absolutely. And you know, it seems to me, so first of all, I was out a little bit on the weekend as people were scrambling. I didn't go to a mall or anything. But so first of all, there were mob scenes at malls for
mob
people.
Scenes, yeah.
Yeah, for people who didn't, they were trying to get it in. And even at small businesses, there were more people than usual, even though they were, I mean, I had a mani-pedi on Saturday, and the place up the street, a neighborhood place, is also a hairdresser, and they're allowed six people, and they had six people all the time. I've been there under stage two, and there were never six people. Usually I was alone. So I'm, you know, not sure. I think that, you know, they created unsafe situations on the weekends. And, you know, there are huge lineups at these big places. I would think you're almost more likely to get it at a big box place.
Yeah, absolutely. And why not just spread out the people into smaller stores? You'd lower the concentration in the one big store, you know, but it's not, there's no kind of thought going that way. It's just, use the biggest, strongest hammer and try to smash it, you know?
Bill Van Gorder, we just heard that the Atlantic bubble has burst, and I know that I was Zooming with friends in Halifax over the weekend, and, you know, things are locking down there, even though by our standards, this is a very small number of cases.
Well, yes, Libby, they certainly are. And although it seems like a small number of cases, 3 weeks ago, we had no new cases being announced in Nova Scotia. Now we have 44 that have been announced in the last few days. So the increase is alarming. And what's more alarming is it appears to be coming from groups of people who are ignoring the rules and the regulations. So a lockdown is here, and the other provinces are looking at us and saying, we don't like what's happening in Nova Scotia. You know, we can demand the government do more, but it all comes down to all of us following the basics of being caring, thoughtful citizens. Otherwise, our selfishness risks huge harm to others. And unfortunately, that's what we're seeing in Nova Scotia today.
So is the thing they did wrong that they didn't isolate when coming into the province? Was that the problem?
Partly, but the bigger problem is the large groups of people who are gathering in university, off-campus housing, in bars and other entertainment places and on the streets around them, large gatherings without distancing and without masks.
What is the thought for PEI and Newfoundland pulling out? Is that they don't want people from Nova Scotia, New Brunswick?
That's exactly right. They want not. They'll allow people in, and there are some exceptions. But basically, if I want to go to PEI or to Newfoundland today, I'll have to self-isolate for 14 days when I get there. I can't just go to the province and go about my normal life as I was able to do yesterday.
Hmm. Okay. Well, I guess I know where you're not going.
Well, it's a shame. It's too bad that some uncaring people that aren't following the rules are making it a problem for everyone. And now the government does have to put its foot down. And hopefully, it's not too late. There are some people who feel that this should have happened a week ago, when it was obvious that the rates were going to really increase, because there's a potential that we could have the same kind of exponential growth in Atlantic Canada in cases that we've seen in Ontario, Manitoba, and other provinces.
Okay, David, I think you have a different view of this.
Well, I agree with Bill that as good citizens, we should follow the rules. I don't think I should, you know, go off the beaten path onto my own. But the problem here is that they've not made an effective case for two things. Number one, as Peter pointed out, the inconsistency of the lockdown. There's a small store in my neighborhood, happens to be a food store, so they're allowed to stay open. But ever since this thing first started, They were limited to 30 people at a time inside. We all line up outside. One guy leaves, they let another guy in. Why couldn't the same rules apply to any store with smaller quantities allowed in depending on the square footage? Second of all, I happened just by fluke, Libby, to get a haircut last week before all this. I didn't know this was coming. I had to wear a mask. The haircut person wore a mask and she wore gloves. She wiped everything down. If that was safe for me to do then, why is it suddenly unsafe for me to do starting today? There just doesn't appear to be any logical rhyme or reason to this, and they've not made that case, and I think they're going to continue to get more and more pushback because they've not shown that it can stop the spread, and in particular, that it can stop the spread in the most vulnerable population. So essentially, you're quarantining healthy people where the incidence of the mortality rate is negligible. And I think there's going to be a big backlash when we do the review of this afterwards. I think it's all optics, you know, looking strong, looking tough, but the science is increasingly getting a little bit shaky, I'm afraid.
Well, I'm not so sure, because I think that the more that we are all out and about, the bigger the chances. And I'm going to be talking to some epidemiologists later in the program. And I do have questions about it, because this second wave seems to be happening even in places that were, frankly, more disciplined than we were.
Right.
So there are some things that I don't understand about that. I do understand that, you know, that to a certain extent, just cutting down on the volume of people out and about is important. But I do think that they have to be. I'm very disturbed by this, what this is doing to small business. I don't understand why Costco, I mean, it sells food, I guess. Okay, so I don't understand why Canadian Tire can be open and the small business that sells housewares cannot, heading into Christmas.
Right not to understand it, because it doesn't make sense. Because you could restrict a smaller store by the app, and then you could take fewer people inside the building, for sure. But why do they have to close altogether?
Well, exactly. And you know, it's the time before Christmas. It's really, right. Really difficult. And as I said, to the extent that that I've been in sort of small stores on, you know, on St. Clair Avenue up the street from my house, when I did go into a store occasionally that was not a food store, I would be the only person there, or there might be another person there. And even throughout this time, in the, you know, there's a good bakery there, they only allow two people in at once. They're still open, but I don't think those places were a problem. And frankly, a big, huge, big box store would be a place that I would avoid anyway.
Right.
I agree, Libby. And, you know, this is not just in Ontario where governments are making these kinds of decisions with no explanation, no backup at all. It seems very unfair and risky from a health perspective for large stores to remain open where many people can be, yet smaller stores that are much more likely to be able to be well controlled with regard to social distancing and masks, that they're forced to be closed. If smaller stores must close, then at very least large stores should be regulated to only have their essential service departments open, not every department in the store.
That's right. I mean, I think there's a pretty blatant unfairness here. I think our officials are doing their best, really. And I think once this gets hammered home to them, maybe they'll do something to address it. But you never know. Let's take a call from Laser in North York. Hi, Laser.
Hello, thank you. I just tuned in and I heard all this passionate discussion, and I do not want Canada and the whole world actually to go down. We have enough problems without all this. I would like to see something better, healthier world, and what I wanted to say that there was one man, his name is Peter Singer, if I'm not mistaken. He was an advisor, like 2 days ago I heard him, to World Health Organization. So he was suggesting that the virus is a predatory organism, like every virus is like that, and looking for weaker prey to take advantage of. We are talking about anyone with a weaker immune system, which is a virus takes advantage of, colonizes and spreads through, and this is what we have, this problem in the world with COVID and whatever else. So the idea is this, that the only way to not to be easy prey and suffer all this consequences out of our ignorance, I believe ignorance of leaders and some so-called experts, what we have to understand that the stronger immune systems are the only protection that we have, whether we are with vaccines or without. The idea is this, that we cannot have stronger immune systems without learning and relaxation, and this is what we have right now, is all this stress and all this panic in the world with all this with other things plus COVID added extra stress. What I'm saying that this is actually works the opposite. All these lockdowns, all this panic in the media, and government people don't know what they're doing. This is all just makes things worse. That's why the numbers going in the wrong direction.
Okay, so that's one view. We have to move on. Thank you, Laser. Let's go to Gary in Aurora.
Hi. Hello.
Gary, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hi.
Hi, go on. You're
okay.
On the air.
I would just like to say, first of all, love the show, Libby.
Thank you.
Secondly, was that a family-owned nursery in the York region, south of Aurora, Saturday? You know, not that big. I mean, 20, 30 people in there at a time. Anyways, so four ladies came in, you know, kind of our age, you know, 50-ish, 60-ish. All four did not have masks on. The young man at the door said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I can get you a mask if you don't have one." And they all kind of looked at each other and kind of giggled and just said, "Oh, no, we have an exemption." So the young man said, and I was behind them, the young man said, "Can you just hold on for a minute?" So the owner came down and said, "Listen, you can't come in the store without a mask. I value my customers and my staff. This is very serious." And they said, "Well, no, we're not coming in." And he said, "Well, if you don't put the mask on, you're not coming in. And if you do come in, then I will be forced to call the police." And he held up a piece of paper and he said, "This is for you, just for your information, this is a writ of trespass. If you don't leave the store right now, I will call the police. And you will not be allowed in this store ever." And there was people around this, listening to this, and they were literally clapping as these four ladies left the store.
Yeah, and you know what?
I was dumbfounded, Libby. Just dumbfounded.
On which side? That they were thrown out without masks, or that they didn't leave quickly?
They should be thrown out. They said... You know, they said, well, we'll sue. And he said, "You know what, ma'am? I was in court."
Go right ahead.
I was in court 2 weeks ago over this same issue that came forward in the summer. And the judge sided with me. You can't come into my store.
You know what? There are places like the TTC where they, I guess, cannot enforce it. But a small store, and good for the owner, but when the small stores were open, one of the problems that they had was that people who were salespeople, hourly salespeople, they didn't really want the job of having to enforce that. And you know, you never know where that can lead to, and that, I guess, is another.
No, we don't want any drama, Libby. I know exactly where you're going. Any conflict, and you know, the kid on the front. I mean, he wasn't a kid; he was maybe, I call him a kid, but you know, like late 20s. But you know what? Good for the owner to come down and say, "You know what? I've been through this. I've gone to court, and you're in the wrong. Please try and help me. Let you know we're in this together. It's just a mask.
Yeah.
You know, you're in the store for 10 minutes.
I agree. And well, if the stores were open, they would do that. But I also know that in some small places, even like at the door, they have masks, they have sanitizers. But if people didn't put them on, the people working there were reluctant to deal with it. But the longer this goes on, thanks for sharing that story.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's all very tricky for people.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Now, David, do you think there's any change for Zoomers? I think that older people are probably many of them have been more careful than most people, and I'm not sure if this really changes anything.
I don't think it's a dramatic change. I think it's going to hurt small businesses more than it's going to hurt necessarily the Zoomer population as a whole, because we've adapted, we've adjusted. Poll I think we reported on a couple of weeks ago here, Libby, that CARP took of its own members about how you responded, and the very dramatic increases in online ordering of food and supplies, observing social distance. It's really not that tough to go and put on a mask before you enter a store and to have that store say, look, based on our square footage, here's how many people we allow in at one time. I've been watching that happen for, 8 months now, quite peacefully. So that's another reason why I don't understand the severity of the lockdown when you already had some protective measures that the public health people said were fine. And suddenly they're not fine. So I think...
Well, I think the numbers told that tale.
A big part?
I said, I think the numbers told that tale.
Well, yeah, but why was it safe for me to enter the building with a mask on if everybody else had the mask on and suddenly it's not? That's the part I don't get. So at large gatherings, I understand, but they already banned, football games and hockey games and large. I just don't see the incremental benefit of what they've switched to. We'll see what the numbers are, but...
I'm going to try to tease all that out when I talk to our epidemiologists next. I'm not sure they're again, I do believe they're doing their best and they're going to what sort of worked the last time, but the last lockdown was a lot stricter. Let's get a quick comment from Pat in Toronto. Hi, Pat.
Hi, Libby. We as the public should not be second guessing the government with all their experts. I would comment, though, that the government needs to do a better public relations job on putting out the rationale for the various decisions that are made. And of course, we're also influenced by the nonsense that is going on south of the border about, I have my own right to die in the way I want. But PR is not being done properly by the government.
Well, yeah, and you would think, the amount of hours spent in daily briefings from the various levels of government, you'd think that they would make it clear. And I think another problem is human nature. The rules keep changing, and they keep changing because the situation keeps changing. But that's very hard for people to deal with, and I get it.
We just need to make sure that the rationale is put out there, and maybe the answer is to have a couple of laymen on whatever committees make these decisions so people can ask the dumb questions, which many of us are probably, thinking what's going on and not understanding because we haven't been told what the rationale is.
Okay. Thank you for that, Pat.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. I'm going to take, we've got a real packed show today and we are starting to run out of time. So let's go around the table. What are the important things in the week to come for our demographic, starting with Peter?
Third new vaccine is showing promise, the Oxford University one. Canada's got a deal to buy doses of that, I think. And it looks like these three are coming online at the same time. So that's a cause for hope. Maybe we can, at some point in the spring, maybe we could start vaccinating at-risk groups like seniors.
Okay, yeah, that'll be, I spoke to a bioethicist last week, and that's another, I don't know, she described it at one point as a bun fight, because there are three levels of government. They all have these advisory bodies of bioethicists. They are not required to take any of that advice, and it's unclear who has the last call. I think it might be. So, for instance, the ones that have to be refrigerated, if the fax machines work and it's Toronto Public Health, say, here in Toronto, maybe they'll have the say. I think that's the case. But you know, it sounds obvious to us who should get it first, but that's another thing we're going to have to watch out for.
You just never know.
Yeah. David?
I'd be happy if they had enough vaccines to have the bun fight, but based on the flu vaccine, I'm not even down that road yet. Will they get their hands on the stuff and get it distributed properly? But in answer to the immediate question, obviously we have to obey the lockdown. Obviously we have to preserve our own safety and those around us, wear a mask, sanitize. I'm not an opponent of any of this just because I'm an opponent of the way they've merchandised it or arrived at it. So you have to be vigilant, it's up to each one of us to be vigilant for ourselves and our immediate circle.
Yep, good advice. And Bill?
David's right. This is he's called the deadliest peacetime crisis, and it's in the century in Canada. The second wave was predicted, even a third wave was predicted in the beginning. So what we can best do, protect ourselves, stay at home as much as we can, avoid groups and you know, wear the mask, wash the hands, stay 6 feet apart. Make sure that you're doing your part. The power of one is probably what we need to instigate to get through this.
Okay, that's all good thoughts. Thank you so much to our Zoomer squad, Bill Van Gorder, David Kravitz, and Peter Mugridge. Talk soon.
Thanks, Libby.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Fight Back on Zoomer Radio. Heard weekdays from noon to one.
This podcast is proudly produced and presented by the Zoomer Podcast Network, home of great podcasts like Marilyn Lightstone Reads, Idea City on the Air, and The Garden Show.